Well, we are blessed and privileged to have Brother G.S. Nair with us this morning. He's our good friend and my personal good friend, and he has to put up with me, and I have to put up with him when he's here, and my wife has to make banana bread because he loves banana bread. You remember that? Anyway, I remember the first time we had him here, I think it was around 1995, somewhere back there. He told me, he says, you need to come to India. And I looked at him and I said, you're crazy. There's no way I can go to India. I ended up coming to India. I and my two oldest children, Nathan and Kaney. I think Nathan was 18, Kaney was 16, and we had a very memorable time in India. I remember one time saying, the driving is crazy around here. No, brother, it's fine. There are no traffic lights, no stop signs, just a mass confusion. And next thing I know, we drive upon a guy that was laying on the road. I don't know if he was alive or not, but and then we about rolled down a hill once where it was all muddy. And anyway, there are a lot of interesting memories we have. The first time he came to our church, might have been the first time he came to Kansas, I picked him up at the Wichita Airport. We were driving towards McPherson, and he made the comment, you have more cattle than people. There's cows everywhere. And India, there's people, people, people. Kansas, there's cows, cows, cows. So that was his impression. G.S. served in the Indian Army before he came to know the Lord and Savior, and at some point along there, he got tuberculosis. And because he had tuberculosis, he went to a Baptist Mid-Missions hospital for treatment. And the doctor shared the gospel with G.S. And I believe that's how, when you got saved, was when you were in that hospital. And since then, thousands have come to know Christ as Savior all across India. Several thousand churches have been planted, several Bible colleges, as well as children's home. And I can go on and on, but I'll let you read all about his testimony online. Just go to G.S. Nair on the internet and you'll find a lot of good information. So anyway, we're delighted to have Brother G.S. You come and you preach to us. You still remember how to preach, right?
Yes.
And remember, we speak English.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you, brother. Good morning. They understand English, that's great. See, when I come over here, sometimes the accent is different. People say, I got an accent, but I think you got an accent. It's a funny language. Anyway, I'd like to just bring an up-to-date of the ministry, run through the history, because my goal within the next few years, hand over the ministry to the hands, so the ministry may be able to go on for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe this light can make. Anyway, this the threefold of our ministry, that win souls and discipling and establishing local church. Then we train others for the Lord Jesus. Our ministry started in very southern tip of India, that green arrow there, that was Trivandrum. Then that was our focus, was only our state. From there, we've been able to reach the other part of India. Now in all the states of India, we have ministries. Plus our ministry went to Nepal, Myanmar, Bhutan, and Bangladesh, and some part of Pakistan. Here what the Lord has done for the things that this is one of our family conferences, and we've been able to just reach out other people for the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the place where I was hospitalized for 18 months. It's a tuberculosis hospital. And then we started the Kerala Baptist Gospel Team. Four men and $5. From there, the Lord began to just work. The early stage, we have Bible studies. In that Bible studies, those who got saved, we had discipled them and they got baptized. And then we established local churches. This is the church which I'm pastoring now, People's Baptist Church in Trivandrum. That's my second church. All the ministries now goes from this church. And we have two services. This is the first service in our language called Malayalam. Then the second language, that's in English. We have an English congregation comes. We've been able to send all the graduates called for the ministry to the field. Thousands of people been sent from this church. It's a growing church, and we have some pastors there looking after and reaching out. And continually pray for this church. We have some young people now, one of them going to be the pastor within the next couple of years. In 1978, India became a closed mission field that brought us training more people. And this is the institute we started in 1980 to train more people. That was our first chapel. From there, the Lord began to just help us. We started 1/3 of an acre. Now it has gotten almost 20 acres. And we've been able to just use these facilities for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, training people. Over 5,000 people been graduated from this college for the glory of God. Our desire is to train more people, discipling them, maturing them, establishing local churches for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Behind that, the men's dormitory and dining hall, and the Lord just blessed us. This is a graduation service of this year. Last year, we could not have the graduation because of the COVID. We had 2 years, we were struggling. And this year, we had the graduation service. All these graduates are in the field now, reaching out people and establishing local Bible-believing churches. Our goal is to train more people and establish them in the Lord Jesus Christ. And these graduates go and they begin to meet people and get people saved. They come to the home Bible studies and the home Bible study to the local church. This is one of the church I was there. This is the church in Bangalore. Around a few months back, we were just putting forth a letter because the ministry in Karnataka been affected. We did not have any building there, but the Lord provided, and we thank God that the way He just provided for that. India is a big country, and but you see that it's 1/3 of United States, the picture behind the India, but 4 times more people. India may overtake China this year or next year. So that means when India will have 1.5 billion people, with almost around 1/5 of the total population of the globe is going to live in India. That's the reason we need to train more people. So also, India is many different languages. Each state speaks each different languages. And not only the language, the food is different, culture is different. So we've been able to train people from south, sending to other places. We began to feel to train more people from the local regions. So we prayed, and near the states of Punjab, we found that ministry there, planted some churches, and we have a Bible college started. That's our second Bible college. It's almost around 3,200 miles from Trivandrum, and running in a rented building. After the COVID, we could not rent the building for the boys to stay. The graduation this year happened, and they've been able to go to the field. And all through the Pakistan borders of Punjab, we've been able to establish over 85 to 87 churches there. Our goal is to that through that, we've been able to reach out the Pakistan villages and other things. And we've been praying for a property for Punjab. So by the grace of God, we've been able to buy this land. We are completely paid for it. One of my great prayer requests is this year, we could not have the Bible college started because the rented building for the boys as a dormitory could not get it because after the COVID. So the girls' buildings are there, but not for the boys. So this time we could not take any boys, so that we stopped the college. We are praying to build a dormitory for the boys over this area. Land was very expensive, but by the grace of God, we've been able to just bought, and finally we closed. So I took my wife there, though she's sick, that she was praying, and she wanted to see after, so we've been able to just take her over there. Then we also got a third college in the central part of India. A lot of persecutions and problems and struggling. And we need to train more people over there. So there we've been able to just start this ministry there and planting more churches from there. The Bible College, around 1,800 miles from Trivandrum. Started from one of the churches called Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And from there, we've been able to start in the Bible College and train more people. All these 7-8 states, a lot of persecutions and problem. New churches been planted in that region for the glory of God. This year, graduation, over 100 people been graduated this year, and planting more churches in this region for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the outreach ministries we do in that states. These states, we cannot build a building unless we get the special permission. Along with this state, there are another 7 states in India. The people, those who got saved, they cannot get baptized until they get a kind of permit from the local court, because they put an anti-religious freedom bill. We had around 150 applications, around 130 they gave in, and many more people are just trying to just stop conversion. That's a thing they try to do that. Many more local churches been planted in summer outreach ministries, and people been able to get saved and they come to know Christ. Our ministry also spread in Nepal. That's also in a close mission field. You cannot just go as a missionary to there. So we sent some graduates there, started a church and a few churches from there. We've been able to just to build a Bible college for training Nepalese there in their languages. It is a kind of study work program. They go to college at the same time. We also look forward to establishing a local church. This is the college extension school, a building there, and it's a rented building. After we build a building in Punjab, we'll be able to just buy some land over here. That was our goal, and I need to pray for that. Nepal is a little bit cooler area than Trivandrum, so we have to send a lot of supplies to them. And then they go weekend for the ministries. When the door is open, they sit and begin to give the gospel. Then we established a church for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many churches have been planted in Nepal for His glory. Then what about the people, those who are saved later in their life, they cannot come to Bible college. We established an extension Bible school. That extension Bible school is a 2-year program. In that program, they study God's word, they go for weekend meetings, and they began to win souls. When they finished within 2 years of their time, there's a church established for the glory of God. All the extension school pastors, one of their meetings, and sometimes they have weekend meetings, outdoor meetings. This extension Bible school, they will have outdoor meetings every week, and people come to know Christ, that they've been able to reach out for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some meetings are larger, some are small. In that outreach ministry, people, those who got saved, we have Bible studies, follow-up work, baptism, then they establish local churches. Our Bible college, all the students, they enter in summer ministries. We send out 60 teams this year. They work 10 to 12 weeks in the field, along with the faculty and teachers of the Bible college. All the faculty and all the teachers, some staffs need to go to the field along with the boys and girls. They reach out with the tract. Then they hold Bible studies and people, those who got saved, follow work. Then people been baptized. And over 2,800 people been baptized in the June, July months, and establishing churches over there. Some new churches been built. And periodically, we began to just hold different meetings in which we encourage. Here is my son, Timothy, on the right side. And that is my goal for last 2 years I am doing. He traveled with me and reaching out, introducing people, slowly handing over this ministry for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we also got evangelistic humanitarian work, that part of the ministry. That's called Children's Home. With the catastrophe and problems, things happened. So we tried to help them through the local church there. We have 26 children's home under 26 local churches. This is one of the tsunami home. All the tsunami hit at the southern tip of India. We have a church called Faith Baptist Church, 3 miles away. 58 children lost their parents. We brought them here. All that 58 children got saved. We established tsunami home. All the tsunami home children are just gone, but still we hold the name tsunami, but other children are just there. And some of them are because of their needs. We try to help them, food and clothes, education. After all, everything, my goal is that reaching with Jesus Christ, every one of them come to know Christ. They need uniforms, they need equipments and things. Most of the children's home looked after by our local churches. This one of my students from Australia graduated and sent some money to help these children to buy bicycle for them because they did not have a van to go to the school. And this is Pastor Pavitra, helped by one of the church in Kansas. He was one of the victims and of violence took place. And he and his wife and the child has to flee for their life. Their house been burned, their church been burned. But he came back. We've been able to just build that church building. All these children are the victim of that violence took place. 114 people been killed that time. 2 people from his church. But the Lord just led us in a different ways. We rebuilt that church. Then we've been able to bring the young people. We given an extension Bible school through that. With the last 8 years, we established 78 local churches in local villages there. And all these children came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We also got in a home for abused girls. These are the girls, Pastor Lexman and his wife looking after. One or other way, they've been very much struggled. But God brought them to our home, and all of these children had grown up. One of my prayer requests was they were changing different houses, renting. We did not have a building for them. Around 4 or 5 months back, we put forth a letter. A couple of my friends and a few others that been able to help to buy this building. Then we put another floor on the top. We can keep 45 girls there. And so my wife always had a kind of heart for the children's home, especially for the girls' home. When we bought your building, she said she wanted to come. She's almost 3,000 miles away. So we went there because she was there so much. Then I said, why don't you stay down? I'll go upstairs and come because third story. But she came, climbed all the steps. With her Parkinson's, she can climb the steps and come down the steps. Only on the floor, she cannot walk. Pray for Sarah. And these are the girls that became old. And thank God, this I don't know, sound is there. Anyway, I was talking to them. And these all girls found the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And Pastor Lexman, he's the one looking after and is with his wife. And we've been able to build the building and finish the building now. And on the right side, then we finished everything. Only problem, they could not just move to the building because we don't have electricity and bathroom appliance. You need around $18,000 to finish that. Then they can go there. We can give 45 children there and appreciate your prayers for that. Then we also got a women's home, the old elderly women. They've been kicked off of their family because they found the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. They stay in this place. They go outside and reach out the village there. Then we also got a children's school. These schools, outside the classroom, we lead these children to the Lord Jesus Christ. And these children became an avenue to reach their home. People come to know Christ as their personal Savior. And then we've been able to establish churches in that region for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. We also got a medical mission. My son always wanted to be a medical missionary. I said, man, just going to medical mission is a problem, especially going to medical school. But he pursued. He went for pre-med and from there to medical school. And Now he's the one going to look after the whole ministry as a leader. This is Timothy, my son, and his wife Hannah. They both are called to the ministry, and Timmy and his wife been traveling with me. My goal is to introduce to all the ministries there. Pray for Tim and Hannah. Maybe one of these days I'll be able to bring them and introduce so that I can step down. I can take over the ministry. God bless them with a child also. And through this medical mission, we reach out communities. And there's my oldest daughter, Debbie. She's also worked with the children's home and medical mission. She also worked with the college teaching English. And the community been come to know Christ through medical missions. And so pray for Sarah. And without her, I was not able to do it. But now she's in treatment back in home. And I appreciate your thoughtful prayers. Our goal is to train more people and reach out India for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Debbie who helped her with her family and helped in the ministry. And Timothy, Noah, and Hannah and Sarah need much prayer. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Great. I did not know that around 1976, when we started the ministry, it's going to spread that much. And we are over 5,000 men now working in our ministry, different parts of India and other places. So Timmy needs long time as we just gradually handing over the ministry to him. And appreciate your thoughtful prayers. The Lord may deep down in his heart that he may deepen his burden, given completely, sold him and his wife for the ministry so that they can take the ministry further beyond our expectation. Little is much when God is in it. Whoever thought $5 and four men can do, but it's only God, and we thank God for all the glory for going for him. And remember that 1980, 1979, a couple of pastors from this land came to India. One of them was Dudley Long from Albany, New York. He's the one saw the potential, said, "Jesus, come and share this to my people." From there, we established this Fundamental Baptist Mission to India. Dr. Long and Dr. Moody and a few others were there. They both are in heaven, and we have some other new people now. And I appreciate your thoughtful prayers. Continually pray that the Lord may help us. Pray for this Punjab college. We need to have a boys' dormitory there, and which we could not. We turned down 120 students this year. That's my goal now, and appreciate your thoughtful prayers, and thank God for his mighty blessings all through these years. And we praise God. It's all because of you people, like your faithfulness in praying and supporting the ministry. And that's the reason we've been able to just go on, continue this ministry for his glory. Of course, I have to be careful with the time. Back in home, you have a big clock, but I cannot see anyway. We don't keep clock back in home. We keep calendar. We turn over the calendar, and but I'm afraid to do that because I would like to keep your smiling face. So I will make it very short. You usually finish in time. I will finish that way also. Only in my home church, People's Baptist Church in Trivandrum, I can take more time. No problem. They understand me. The problem is that the language, our language, Malayalam, it has got 56 alphabetic letters. That is the fastest speaking language in the world. That's the reason sometimes I cannot slow down. I remember that Mrs. Long always say, "Jesus, slow down, okay? I'm trying. If I go fast, you just raise your hands anyway." I'd like to read a couple of verses from God's Word. If you have a Bible, please turn with me to Psalms 126. 126, verse 5 and 6. Psalms 126, verse 5 and 6. "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." May the Lord add more blessing. This is the Psalm of a degree. Psalm of degree, and After the exile, they came and they sing this song, saying how wonderfully God just brought them. But I'd like to just take these two verses, just applying to the weeping and reaping. Sowing, weeping, the sowing and weeping. Then there comes the reaping over there. So the title of my message will be Weeping and Reaping. Is that a praise? Are we prepared or to pay for winning souls? That's what the question comes today. Are we prepared to weep over the lost? Around a few years back, around 15 years back, I was in Ohio preaching in a church, their 75th anniversary. And this pastor knew how I got saved and who God used that. So he called me the same day. He called Dr. Kenoyer also and his wife. And he's the one who actually gave the gospel to me. He's with the Lord now. His wife's still living. And then she came and told me, Jesus, I know that when you came to our hospital, you were so troublesome, made miserable our life. But my husband never gave up. He prayed for your soul over 18 months. I always think about who is an American coming to India, a dying Hindu, lost Hindu on the Broadway to lead her to eternal destruction. Why he has to consent for my soul? He was giving the word and watering with tears that the Lord may save me. Lost, maybe, are we prepared to just weep over our souls? Maybe lost children, lost siblings, maybe parents, grandchildren. They all have souls. They need to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember when I got saved, my parents were so upset and furious, angry. I'm dead to the family. But one thing I could do, pray and plead, beg God to save my father and mother, and continually prayer. Over 16 years later, they both come to know the Lord Jesus. Are we prepared? Maybe as this message is, you hear that, maybe God's Holy Spirit may put some individuals in your heart, giving the word, and pray for that soul that the Lord may save that soul. In our society in which we live, weeping is considered too emotional. But certainly we need to be aware of people, those who are lost. We need to be aware of the shallow emotions, but aware of the souls that are lost and pray over them. Some people say that Jesus shed his blood for your salvation and you are saved. Can you not shed your tears and sow the seed so people may come to know Christ? A kind of thought that's shedding tears. Even Jesus himself, talk about his ministry in the Hebrews chapter 5, talking about his earthly ministry, chapter 5, verse 7, the word of God says that, talking and describing his ministry here, chapter 5, verse 7, who in the days of flesh, talking about the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he had offered a prayer and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. In our Savior's ministry also, a kind of strong crying with tears. A Savior. I remember that when we start the ministry, we are trying every effort so that people are not coming, and a meager result was coming. Start getting together and praying and pleading. Years ago, there was a young minister. He tried his level best to winning souls, and he began to just try very hard, and a meager result. He was so disappointed, discouraged, and one day his hand fell upon a small booklet of the life story of Murray McShane from Robert Murray McShane from Dundee, Scotland. And it stirred him up his soul. He wanted to go and visit Dundee, where Pastor McShane was pastoring many years back. And at that time, there was a great revival took place there. People been saved, and the Holy Spirit was so convicted, and people been saved, bar were closed, and revival began to spread all across Scotland, from there to into the mainland, the UK, and a long-lasting result. So this young minister wanted to go there and visit. When I was studying, I always wanted to go and visit that place, because I read his story also anyway. So this minister, he took the challenge. He went to Dundee, and he was just waiting outside, and he saw an elderly man coming up and opening the door. So he just walked to him and asked him that, I'm just come to see you here. Do you remember anything of your previous pastor, Murray McShane? He said, yeah, you want to hear that? I'm the old sexton of this church. Why don't you come in? So just the same minister being invited inside, so that the older gentleman took him inside the church, and beside the pulpit there was a small vestry. He said, that was a small room my pastor spent his prayer and the study time there. And he said, why don't you come in? So just the young minister walked in, and he went inside. I point out there's a chair and the table. There what my pastor sit there. And this young man was asked, do you like to go and sit there? This young man obeyed and went and sat on the chair. Then he said, why don't you put your elbow on the table? He put the elbow on the table. Then he said, why don't you place your face on your hand? He placed it. That what my pastor is sitting there. And I can see two streams of tears flowing from him. Let the tears flow. Murray McShane served maybe 2 or 3 years, maybe 4 years most. He died when he was 30 or 31. And God used him mightily. Took place in the great revival. People being saved. The minister got the message, and he went back. He began to just to cry out to God for souls. God is interested upon souls. That's the very purpose the Lord Jesus Christ came to this world. He's the lover of soul. I often think about, we have ministry going on that, but there are people, when we see that, we could not sit back and relax on our accomplishment, lean upon those comfort, rather than looking forward, people, those who are just going to lost eternity. Young children, boys and girls, young people, and mothers and fathers, and they all need the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe in your family circle has just got, putting somebody in your heart today, giving the word at the same time, praying and asking the Lord to save them. Even our Lord himself, as you see in the New Testament, at least 3 times, he wept for the souls. Our Savior. You see, one time as he was standing before the tomb of Lazarus, his friend, who had died, and he was just in the place of the tomb. He was moved and he came. His relatives were just, you can see Mary, Martha, and their relatives, and everybody was there and moved with compassion. And here my Savior saw this, what sin has brought his creation. He just wept there. He knew that he's going to raise this rotten man who is rotting already in the tomb. He's knowing that he's going to do the miracle to bring him to life, but he's wept over there, wept for the soul. And from there he moved with compassion, called Lazarus, come out. I'm so thankful he called Lazarus, come out. If my Savior would have said, come out, all the people from the day of Adam would have come out from the graves. But he said, Lazarus, come out. He came. He wept for him. In a sense, We are all dead in trespass and sins. Maybe someone over here not saved. The Bible says we are all dead in trespass and sin. Jesus weep over your soul. He won't raise you from that conditions. Jesus wept for individually for you. The second time you can see Jesus wept for a nation. As he was walking on the heights of Jerusalem, looking down to Jerusalem, he wept over Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, with tears. Weeping for a nation. Even today we think about our Savior, even think about the United States. This country been found in the foundation of God's word, but we just walked away from that. It's no more a Christian country, but few Christians living. We need to pray for this country. And Jesus, because souls need to be saved. Our Savior looked down to Jerusalem and he began to see that this rebellious nation constantly and continually reject the word of God, walked away from his truth, and knowing that the catastrophe and the future judgment which is going to come upon Jerusalem, my Savior wept over the country. But they did not hearken. Thirdly, our Savior wept once again for the world. You remember that? He went to that before he went to the cross of Calvary. He took his Peter, John, James to the Garden of Gethsemane, asked them to tarry and pray, and he went further and just wept before God. He wept over the world in Gethsemane. You can see that he was weeping before God, the tears mingled with the blood rolled down and coming down with agony and with so much of pain. He wept and prayed for the lost souls of this world. He said, Father, if it is thy will, let this cup pass away from me. Our Savior is not afraid of crucifixion. He knew that that will be so painful physically and emotionally and mentally. He knew that the Roman soldiers are not going to show any mercy to him. The hands, those being touched by Jesus Christ and those being just benefited by the act of Jesus while he was in the world, no eye is going to show mercy upon him and that cross. He knew that. He knew these people are going to capture him and slap on his face and going to pull out his beard, spat on his face, and they are going to just cruelly crucify him on that cross, and no mercy will be shown to him. He knew that. They put in a crown of thorn on him, defamed him, and made him so much ridiculed and challenged him even just on that agony. He knew that they are going to challenge him to come out from the cross. He knew that he has to endure that painful death. He was not afraid of that crucifixion. He was not praying that cup. But there is something beyond that, that you and I need to think about that. In that cross, to accomplish yours and my salvation, he has to take our sin upon him, that he became a sacrifice for me. How graciously, carefully, our Savior did that. I often think about who is Jesus. Is God himself. God manifested in the flesh. We called him Jesus. God born as a baby. And from there he became a young child. Became a teenager. Young man. From there he went into public ministry. Every day as he lived in this earth, of course, he just know that always he thought about you and me. But as he lived this world, as a young child, as a teenager, or as a human, as a young man, every day he lived with the conscience that he is going to be a sacrifice for your sin and my sin. One simple mistake could disqualify him to be my Savior. Every day he lived. Because that's the only possible way men and women can get saved. That's the only possible way your sins can be forgiven. That's the only possible way you can be purchased with His precious blood. That's the only way that human being, the lost human being, can have a source wherein which they can find eternal life. My Savior lived every day the conscience that He is going to be my sacrifice. I cannot understand the fathom and depth of God's love for you and me. Could you imagine the holy God who hates sin became my sin? Took your sin and my sin upon Him. The Father in heaven has to turn His face away because that's full of sin. He was praying for that cup. Even He was willing to go to that extent. Then only you and I can be redeemed from all the penalty of sin, even the sin that we might be able to have a home in heaven. What a wonderful Savior we have, the Lord Jesus. Could you find anyone in this world apart from Him like that? That's the simple gospel. Who just paid His own life can only save people from their sin. Jesus wept that night, even remembering you. Maybe some individual today do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Let me tell you, my Savior took that agony for your salvation, for redeeming from your sin. He did that. As you see over here, He just shed His blood over there. Before that, He prayed with tears and mingled with the blood rolling down. In the agony, He knew that what He's going to face. But still He went on that cross and became my sin. And physically He was crucified, shed His blood, died. Thank God He was buried, but third day He's risen from the dead. He's the only qualified Savior for a lost human being in this world. That is Jesus Christ. And the Word of God here says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. So doubtlessly, if the Word of God says that that seed, that the Word of God, we have to sow, because the seed has got power. The seed has got life. The Word of God is the only thing that can convert people. We need to give gospel. The problem today, we try to confuse the world, try to just bring so much of attachment to the gospel. The simple gospel is the only way that people can get saved. What is that gospel? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came down to this world, lived in this world as a perfect life. He died on the cross of Calvary for your sin and my sin. He was buried and risen from the dead. If anyone put their trust, they shall be saved. A simple word. But we try to, so people sometimes ask me, what do you use for Hindus? What do you use for Muslims? What do you use for this thing? Only one thing I always, the Word of God. Word of God has got power. Word of God convert people. The Word of God just has life. The Word of God just bring conviction. The Word of God just bring making sure that you are sinner and you just begin to see the judgment and you come to realize Jesus Christ, the only living Savior, giving the Word. The Word has got, the seed has got the power and life, and in time, as I often say, we send out the 60 teams this year with thousands of people we reached out. Before they go, after they come back, I ask them, has the seed been sowed? Come back and water with tears in time. God is the one going to bring the life. How often we misunderstand. We saved many people. Nobody can save anybody else. Only God saves people. We are the only tools to give the Word of God. And water with tears in time. God promised over here, the Word of God says, verse 6, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. God never promised that to wherever and to whom you are giving the gospel, all of them are going to get saved. But surely He promised there will be harvest. There will be harvest. He is the one just working with the Word That word itself has got life and has got power. As we water with tears and praying and pleading, God, God of mercy, may just make that that word may bring life into that lost souls. What a wonderful Savior we have in the Lord Jesus. It is, sometimes we just try to just give the word and walk the way. No, friends, and we need to have that concern. No wonder Paul says, I have travail that Christ may abide in you. We must have that agony. People have souls. Their souls are lost. If they don't have Jesus, no matter what you talk about, what kind of just argument people make it, if they don't have Jesus, plain word says, 1 John chapter 5, that he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not a Son shall not see life. So maybe some individual in your home, maybe a grandchild, maybe a sibling, maybe husband or wife, maybe parents or grandchildren, maybe grandparents, they may have everything. You are trying your best to give the gospel. Keep giving. And watering with tears. In time, God will bring. The success of ministry, our Christian life, is not how many souls you are won for the Lord. The success is that how many seed you are planting. God in his time. This doctor put the seed, 18 months, took time, and watered with, never gave me up. In time, God saved. God is still saving people. God bless you.